nice to be back here again. France was, it was a blessing to be there. It's a blessing to be back here. Right, let's just pray for just the anointing of God on the word tonight. Father, we just pray that you'll just center us in this place and in your presence, God. We pray that you'd flood down into this room, God, that you'll reveal yourself to us, that you'll reveal your truth to us, that we will not be left wondering or not understanding anything, Father God. We just pray that your Holy Spirit guide and lead and enlighten all of us, Father, especially those gospel truths which really are just the simple but profound truths of your gospel, Father. Pray they'd be made alive to us in a new way, Father God. In Jesus' holy and glorious name, amen. Okay. Well, something that I sometimes find difficult speaking on, and yet it's something that I believe if we can grasp as the body of Christ, will have a tremendous impact on us. I think one of the most critical things that we can learn about just plain old gospel preaching is how different our gospel is today from that which typically gets preached by the revivalists in history. And I'm talking about guys like John Wesley, Charles Finney, George Whitfield. These kinds of men seem to come into a place of preaching and a type of preaching, and the very gospel itself, when they preached it under the anointing authority of God, had an impact and also, I think, an entire theme that is utterly lacking today. And really, when I want to find it, I really have to go to read sermons and documents and accounts of revival that are sometimes hundreds of years old. Here is the point that that I've come to in studying all of this and really pondering all of this. Of course, I have always had a desire, you know, ever since I was very young, to preach in such a way as those old revivalists would preach. I would read the books about Evan Roberts, you know, the Welsh revivalist, or I'd read about John Wesley's life, and I'd be praying to God, God, make me a preacher like these men. This is the kind of awakening that we need. We've got to have revival preachers like this again. And so I began praying way back, you know, when I was 17 years old in this way. And slowly, especially in recent years, I've begun to see that our gospel is different. Now, we spoke on Sunday about really the repentance side of the gospel. That's really what I was presenting on Sunday. Of course, the gospel is a lot deeper than that, because it's not just talking about repentance. That's basically John the Baptist's message. So we spoke about repenting, getting baptized. We spoke a bit about that. We spoke about getting filled with the Holy Spirit. But I want to say to you, those are the very most basic things you can find in the book of Acts. You can find all through the New Testament. Those are the most basic things. This would happen to everybody on the first day. Now today, sadly, it can take us years to even find our way into real repentance. It can take us years to get baptized in water today. It can take us years to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I bet many in this room have been on all kinds of topsy-turvy roads, even getting these three basic things, which would happen straight away in the Bible. I want to move on from those things today, because the walk of the Holy Spirit, the walk of faith, the type of gospel that was preached by Wesley and so on, I believe has been lost. And when we see it come back, generally there's a great awakening either about to occur, or at least there's some kind of revival in the offing, you could say, because such is the power of these gospel messages. You could just say it's a deeper kind of gospel, in my view. It's really... let's get into it a little bit. I want to start by quoting Charles Finney before we really get into Scripture, or we can look at both and sort of try and work our way through this, because it's stuff that is not common out there anymore. I guess you could say, if you, who in this room perhaps has heard of or attended the Keswick Convention, or heard about Keswick? Okay, years ago, probably I guess you could say in the heyday of the Keswick movement, it was based around the kind of thing that I'll be preaching tonight. And it was always a holiness movement, in fact had a lot of influence on the Welsh revival and things like that. So it was trying to keep alive a flame that had really been burning for years, for centuries. The early Pentecostals were like this. They all came out of the holiness movement. If you look at, say, a guy like Smith Wigglesworth, he wasn't originally a Pentecostal at all. He was straight out of the holiness movement, who would be all talking about things like sanctification and the second blessing and discussing John Wesley's opinions of these things and, you know, working through all of this stuff. That's the background of a lot of the great Pentecostal preachers in the early days. So here's Charles Finney talking about the day he got converted. And see, you know, we'll start straight away, I think, to start really seeing that there's differences in his understanding of some basic things. He says, talking about the day he got converted, he says, "In this state I was taught justification by faith as a present experience. I could not feel a sense of guilt or condemnation by any effort I could make. My sense of guilt was gone, my sins were gone, and I do not think I felt any more sense of guilt than if I never had sinned." Now, straight away, when he's talking about justification by faith, you know, I actually quite hate these long words. I'm not a fan of using terminology. I always like to go to where it's at, you know, where we can find the simple meaning of these things. Because justification to me is a word I can't go out on the high street and start bandying around, because nobody has the slightest clue what I'm talking about. But if I talk about being right with God, which is what justification means, being right with God, Charles Finney here is talking about a state of being. We tend to talk about justification by faith as almost like this one-off experience. Oh yes, I became a Christian that day. Quite often we'll use that horrible example that I really don't like because it's not scriptural. We say, oh yeah, I prayed that little prayer and I experienced justification by faith. I started to believe in Jesus. These kind of things we glibly speak about. I want to say to you, Charles Finney here, talking about the day he got converted, is talking about coming into a state of being which we very, very rarely in the church today even speak of as though it's possible. You'll see what I mean in it as we move on. So he says, "My sense of guilt was gone. My sins were gone. I do not think I felt any more sense of guilt than if I never had sinned. I felt myself justified by faith, and so far as I could see, I was in a state in which I did not sin." So far as I could see, I was in a state in which I did not sin. Now, he's not claiming perfection here, but he's saying, I came into a state of being that was such that... Now, he's writing this 50 years later. He's saying, I came into a state of being where it seemed to me like I was no longer walking as a sinner. I was no longer aware of any sin inside of me. Such was the cleanliness of God that had suddenly filled my life. I wasn't walking in me anymore. I was walking in Jesus. Such was the justification that I felt before God. Remember justification? That feel, that sense of being right, being made right with God. Such was my sense of justification before God. I felt like I was no longer sinning. I no longer had sin in me. I couldn't even try hard. Even when I tried hard to make myself feel guilty, it wouldn't work. I couldn't make myself feel unclean if I tried. I could bring up every past sin or any faults that I had, or, you know, imperfections in my character. I could bring all these things up and they wouldn't make me feel the slightest bit guilty. This is what he's saying. Now, not only that, but Charles Finney, of course, believed in justification by faith as a permanent state. What's John Wesley preaching? You see, John Wesley had a very interesting... Of course, he's, you know, one of the most famous English or British preachers of all time. and spoke a lot on this type of topic. What is John Wesley? What is his background? Well, John Wesley was a totally failed missionary, trained in the Church of England. So he's trained to be a quote-unquote minister of God. Went through all that training, went out to America to evangelize and to minister to the people. There was a complete and utter failure. And on the ship home, I believe it was on the ship home, Moravian missionaries were on the ship from Europe. And he said that the storm came up. He was feeling petrified himself. Most of the passengers were. He said these Moravian missionaries, he said, they were just in the peace of God. Just living in the peace of God. They could have gone at any moment. They wouldn't have cared less. That's where they were at with God. And he said this so affected him. Because he realized in that moment, I think he made a famous saying about, you know, I went to America to save the heathen. But, oh God, who will save me? That was how he came back feeling from his failure trip. And he got around these Moravian guys. And they started preaching to him this kind of state. In fact, they would say to him, listen, you don't have the peace of the gospel. Now, we're talking these terms in those days. You don't have the peace of the gospel, John. You know, if you can't say that you're living before God in this state of being today, what makes you think you're living a New Testament life at all? What kind of Christianity do you have? Is it the Christianity where you walk in cleanness before God, you walk in justification by faith, or not? I mean, what are you striving for? What's the big attempt? Are you trying to create your own righteousness? Why? You know, because John Wesley was one of the, they called them Methodists because they would get up at an early hour of the morning every day, they would pray strictly, you know, according to schedule. They'd had an hour of prayer, and then they'd meet together and sing songs. And later in the day, they'd have a strict another hour of prayer. You know, they did everything trying to dredge up, I guess, a kind of holiness before God. And he knew full well it wasn't working. There was not that deep peace with God. See, what does Scripture say? It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there is a deeper sense of these type of Scriptures than we commonly think about or come into. Why is Charles Finney saying things like, as far as I could see, I was in a state in which I did not sin? Why is he using, twice in this paragraph here, he's using the words justification by faith, and he's tying it into a state of being where you're not conscious of sin. You're not conscious of being a sinner anymore. The reason I never preach this type of message without first talking about repentance is we have to go through really the gateway into this before we can come into any kind of understanding of a deeper sense of gospel truth. But I want to say to you, what is a New Testament believer? It's not just someone who's repented. John the Baptist's disciples had repented. They'd gone that far with God. They had asked God for forgiveness. They'd received a cleansing. They'd been baptized for repentance. They'd received something definite from God. But they weren't walking in this. This that we're talking about here is solely for New Testament people. Solely for New Testament people. Even John the Baptist's disciples couldn't come into this until they had been truly born again and truly come in into a deep experience of God's Spirit. In other words, what am I saying? It's Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. What does that say? It says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And so the big question arises, if you're in Christ, See, Bible says again in many of these scriptures that we talk about all the time, we're always talking about scriptures as though we know what they're saying. I put it to you that until revival comes, we don't know the Bible at all. We can repeat to ourselves scriptures. I want to say to you, unless we have the kind of anointing that comes down in a great awakening, we don't know these scriptures. We have no deep comprehension of what they really mean. And so a great awakening, believe it, is really just the gospel returning. But it's the gospel as Paul the Apostle would have preached it. What's it bringing us into? It's bringing us into a state where we walk clean before God. Not by our own efforts. The very thing that John Wesley could not find anywhere. Eventually, when the Moravians were preaching this stuff to him, eventually he came into it. He came into an experience of the Holy Spirit and of faith that he had never known before. And he would go around preaching this. John Wesley had numbered sermons that all his preachers, he would send out preachers, they all had to learn these sermons off by heart. One of his numbered sermons is called Marks of the New Birth. Marks of the New Birth. He would, and the entire sermon consists of questioning whether people are truly saved, because do they have these marks of the new birth? He would turn to 1 John chapter 3, which we should have a look at right now. 1 John chapter 3. This is one of his most well-known sermons. Okay, so he's preaching straight out of the King James, of course. This passage out of the King James will just about kill you outright. Especially of the preacher of the piercing qualities of John Wesley. Okay. Verse 3 says, so 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Talking about Jesus. And down there in verse 5 it says, you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. In other words, in Jesus is no sin. Whosoever abides in him sinneth not. Whosoever sins has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Listen to this verse, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Stunning scripture. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Again, we're not talking about this here, which is my fallen body. I cannot make this thing holy enough to please God. We spoke about that very slightly on Sunday. I can't make this fallen body absolutely perfect, even though the Holy Spirit is in me and is purifying me even as Jesus is pure. So that is ongoing right through my life. In other words, I will find that even my body, given that the life of the Holy Spirit is inside of me, by the end of my life will be far more closer to the image of Jesus than when I began. No question about that. If that's not happening, I simply am not a Christian. I am not truly saved at all if my end is not more refined by the Holy Spirit than my beginning. Amen? All of us are going through that. But listen to me. In talking about the walk of the inward man, the inward person that's inside of me, that person, according to New Testament, according to the pattern of salvation that Jesus has arranged for us, which purchases back everything that Adam lost, isn't it obvious that we should be able to walk before God as Adam walked? Isn't that obvious that the New Testament is the entire point of Jesus coming is to purchase back for us everything Adam lost? Otherwise, Jesus is not really redeeming everything. He's not really dying and regaining everything that was lost unless he gets it all back. See, Adam, this whole thing revolves around getting Adam back again, able to commune with God just like Adam used to in the cool of the evening, getting Adam's innocent state back again, getting Adam's cleanness before God back again, getting him back is what it's all about. Sin was the problem. Sin led to the disaster. And so this entire business, the entirety of the gospel, is really about returning us to a certain state of being. This is why we see so many scriptures about it. We see, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. In other words, as though something has just been formed by God, brand new. He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new for that person. What is the new birth? And it sure ain't repeating and wrote a little prayer after some preacher. I spoke about that on Sunday and said, listen, this is not in the Bible. Not only that, but most people who pray that little prayer that way are not massively transformed in the inner man to become that new creature. The new creature is not being formed by this little method that we made up. It's simply not happening. I remember sitting next to a young man, you know, when I was young myself, just newly saved myself, and I went through this rote prayer with the young man. I knew, and I'm sure he knew, full well, I could sense nothing just happened to this guy. All he did was repeat a bunch of words. I mean, I tried my best to explain things to him, to make it mean something. But the person it meant something to was me, more than him. He just repeated words. This is why we have an enormous fall-away rate from every type of crusade that uses that method. The fall-away rate is enormous. Why? Because they don't really know what they're doing. They're not coming into New Testament Christianity at all. Most of them aren't even repenting. They don't even know what they're doing. Okay, so that's not justification by faith. If any man be in Christ, we are hid in God. What is it? Hid by God in Christ. There's all these scriptures that talk about those who have come to Jesus truly have clothed themselves with Christ. So they've put Christ on like a garment. So we're talking really about a deeper sense of the gospel where we actually come into a sense of right standing before God and we can actually walk in it by faith. What does that mean? On a practical level, I want to say to you that the New Testament Christian isn't someone who always has to be repenting before God about every little thing. Why? Why? That's if they're walking here. If I'm walking in the old Andrew, yeah, man, that guy has much to repent of, every little mistake and every little tiny little error that I make, much as I hate all of it, I'm going to have to repent of, because I'm walking in my flesh. My flesh, it cannot please God. I'm going to have to be apologizing every 15 minutes or more often to God for my silly errors. The foolish Andrew Strong. This body that is, while holiness is active in me, and while I'm a person that, you know, hates sin and walks in holiness before God, I want to say to you, I cannot make this body, no matter how hard I've tried, utterly perfect. Can't do it. Go ask my children. But in the inner man, the new creation can walk before God, and by faith, I want to say this is total reality, can walk before God utterly pure, walk before Jesus with faith in his righteousness and his holiness living in me, can walk as a new creation, knowing it in the Spirit, and walk clean before God with a clean conscience for days and weeks without ever becoming conscious of sin enough to have to repent of anything. This is the state that is described by Finney. This is the state that Wesley would talk about. Wesley, in fact, wrote a book over 300 pages long, which, by the way, I have not sat down and consumed myself, because it is just utterly riddled with, you know, anyway, just the endless goings back and forth. It was called Christian Perfection. Wesley wrote an entire book on Christian perfection. But what is the gist of it? The gist of it is what we're talking about tonight. The gist of it is in all his early sermons, where he's talking about coming into that state of being that the Moravians would talk to him about, and they would say, listen, man, you don't have the gospel. You are not a possessor of the New Testament. You're not walking in faith. You don't have peace with God. Why do you still have consciousness of sin? John Wesley, why, if you're truly a Christian, do you still have consciousness of walking in sin? Why are you mindful of the flesh and not walking in the Spirit? What's going on with you? If you're truly a son and child of God, why isn't Acts chapter 8, one of his favorite scriptures was, I think it's chapter, Romans, not Acts, Romans 8, I think 16, where it says, those who are truly God's, it talks about our spirit cries out to God, Abba, Father. And he knew he didn't have that. He knew that his spirit inside of him was not crying out to God, Abba, Father. He was trying so hard. He was believing as hard as he could. But it wasn't this faith. It wasn't this faith. It wasn't this state of being. Somehow, despite all of his repenting and trying and every other thing that he was doing, he could not come into it until God moved in his life and simply supernaturally took him there. Bam. And suddenly, that which seemed impossible, he walked in without effort. And that's the key. What kind of striving can we do to please God at the end of the day? We can't do any. No amount of effort with this thing that can make it truly pleasing to God. It cannot go there. It cannot get back to the Garden of Eden. It simply cannot go and do it. It is incapable. Until this thing is truly dead and I'm in a resurrected body, that's the only type of perfect body that actually can live in that place. But inside of me, there is a new creation that... Do you know how easy it is for the new creation to walk in purity and righteousness before God? Not its own purity, but Jesus' purity. To walk in that garment, to walk in Him. Do you know how easy that is? It's as easy as breathing. You see, for a new creation... Do you know what? Andrew Strom doesn't get up in the morning. My body... This Andrew Strom does not get up in the morning and have to tell itself to breathe. I never do. I don't get up in the morning and say, Andrew Strom, remember to breathe today, otherwise you'll die. It's unusual, I know, but I just don't do it. Now, the new creation that lives inside of me by faith, that I'm walking in, trusting not in me, but in Christ who lives in me, it's no longer I that lives. There's another one of these scriptures that we think we know. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's a state of being. I'm either that guy walking in Christ. See, like I was saying before, if I'm walking in me before God, if I walk all the livelong day in the old Andrew Strom walking before God, I tell you what, I'm dead. I've completely had it. I do not have peace with God. I'm not even justified by faith. If I walk in my flesh, there's only one way I can walk. Mindful of the Spirit, mindful of Christ in me, the hope of glory. There's another one of those scriptures. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know what Paul was praying for the Galatians? He says, I'm in travail again over you guys. You have lost it, he said, that Christ be formed in you again. Now there's a scary scripture. Why is it scary? Because you can lose the forming of Christ inside of you completely and not have him there anymore. Why? Because you step right out of faith and start trusting in what this thing can do. What were the Galatians doing? They were trusting in the works of the law, circumcision, and you know, trying to be a good person and trying to get this thing sorted out so it just does everything just right. Well, Paul said, you cannot be justified by the works of the law. You can't be justified by anything you do. If you have fallen out of faith, I want to say to you, man, you're gone. You've just abandoned everything that God just gave to you. Who gave you the white robe? Well, what are you walking in? The Old Testament law? To try and make yourself good enough for God? It's therefore being justified by faith. What is that word faith? It actually means to trust in the righteousness of Jesus living in me. No longer to trust in myself. And to walk in that place. What is this faith? It's actually a state of being. It's a place that we walk in. We walk in the Spirit, not by the flesh. We walk in the Spirit. We walk mindful of the things of the Spirit. We walk in the holiness of Jesus, not our own. We can't dredge it up. We have to walk in Him. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so we end up, you know, our conscience is a big part of this. I can't remember if, I think we might have looked at, but let's look at it again. Hebrews chapter 10 on Sunday. I'm pretty sure we did, but we may not have. I know I quoted this scripture when I was in France, so that's what. Anyway, Hebrews 10, verse 22. Hebrews 10, 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Okay, so again, it's talking about the conscience. We need to start heading towards our closing point because, as I said before, this is a hard thing for me to preach about because it's not as definable as repentance and baptism and getting filled with the Holy Spirit. This thing that we're talking about tonight, this state of being, I want to say to you, John Wesley only got into it by the revelation of God to him. The personal stepping down of God, the personal stepping down of God into John Wesley's life and revealing this to him. And that's what every one of us needs in order to walk in this place. To actually be in a place where there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there's a new law that we come into. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's actually a law. And so you wake up in the morning, if you're in this state, if this creation is alive in you, you wake up in the morning not having to say, oh, you better not sin today, or you better not be a sinner today, or you better be good with God today, or you better do what's right today. No, you walk in a place before God that is right. trusting in Jesus' righteousness, and you walk in that place of cleanness before God. You walk in the washing of the blood of Jesus. And it takes no effort. Now, what does our conscience have to do with this? I want to say to you, Sunday here was all about getting a clean conscience. That's what repentance, and ultimately even baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit, what are we doing there when we're launching someone into New Testament Christianity? That's what those three things are all about. Launching someone into New Testament Christianity, giving them the explosive start that they're supposed to have. Well, it's supposed to get us to the place where we have the beginnings of a clean conscience. We've cleared up all the past junk with God. We've made our peace with God, in a sense. But what we're talking about tonight is the way that we walk after that. And I want to say to you, we never teach new Christians to walk in anything like this. What are we teaching them in essence is this, is that, oh yes, you'll have a wonderful honeymoon period with God, and then your Christian walk, this is so often the case, you couldn't count the number of people who feel like this, is that after that honeymoon period with God where you just feel so right with God and everything's new and everything's fresh, and then they start living a life like this. Up and down every day like a roller coaster, where they're never truly feeling, oh no, there's no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. They feel like there's plenty of condemnation. They feel like some days they're great and they're doing real well because they haven't made so many mistakes that day, and they think they're making God real happy that day, so they're having a great day with God. But then the next day, shouted at the dog, kicked the cat, terrible day with God, God must be just frowning at me today. This is not walking in faith. This absolutely is not walking in faith. Why? Because I'm looking at this thing all the whole time. I'm not living in Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. See, the New Testament's only true of, every verse you read in the New Testament is only true of this person, the person that is walking in Christ. It's not true of any other person. It doesn't work. The person that's outside the gospel can try and make stuff happen as though they're New Testament. They ain't. Every verse in there is only true of this type of person, the person that lives and walks in Christ. And we can only do that by faith, by the revelation of the Spirit of God in our lives. And we can go there. We can go into this place by the grace of God. If the foundation's been laid, I was talking about some of the foundational things. There are more foundations, which I preach. If you ever want to do any homework about what the foundations are that give you the platform to walk in what we're talking about tonight, they're all found in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 and 2 are the six foundations that you establish so that you can walk in this place that we're talking about. But basically, it's not rocket science. It's by the revelation of God. It's Him bringing you into a place where you don't go up and down like that. That is not your portion. You walk by faith, and you just have a constant walk with God. If, perchance, you seriously do sin against your conscience and you sense against God, it's almost like a spot has just jumped on that white robe. Well, that's when you get before God and you say, God, I am so sorry that I said that or did that. God, forgive me for that. God, I went... It's almost like you go over the edge of the faith that you're walking in. And the faith that you're walking in, it doesn't cover that. You've gone too far. And you feel it immediately. Why? Because your normal state should be this, a New Testament state is this. You're walking in communion with God. You're actually walking with a sense of God watching you and you're communing with him all the time. And you're not frightened of that. Why? Because it's not you. Who's he beholding? Who's he looking at? He's looking at Christ in you. He's happy to commune with his own son. That's the place that you're in. That's who you've been placed into. That's who you're walking in. That's where you're at. You're not walking in this thing. You're not walking in your old self. You don't exist in that. You're walking in here before God in purity and holiness. Whose is it? Not yours, but Christ's. That's what faith is all about. Let me just read this out again. Just quote a couple of scriptures to finish with. I want to read Charles Finney to you again and see if anything, if we're seeing anything more in his words here. Because this is what these guys preach. In this state, I was taught justification by faith as a present experience. I could not feel a sense of guilt or condemnation by any effort I could make. My sense of guilt was gone. My sins were gone. I do not think I felt any more sense of guilt than if I never had sinned. I felt myself justified by faith, and so far as I could see, I was in a state in which I did not sin. It's in a state in which I did not sin, as far as I could see. It's in a state in which I did not sin. Is he walking in? He ain't walking in himself anymore. He's walking in Jesus. Isn't that where we're all supposed to walk? Isn't that where justification is? It's not in me, I can tell you that. Isn't that where justification is? Walking in Christ. No longer walking in me. Walking in Christ. That's where it is. That's where salvation is. You see, a lot of us who think we have salvation New Testament style, I want to say, we don't have it. Salvation is walking in Christ. Isn't he? Christ in you doesn't have a yo-yo experience with God every day. He just doesn't walk. He doesn't live that way. We're not supposed to ever walk that way.